9th, 2016 special board meeting. Madam Treasurer, can you please call the roll?
Mrs. Dunlap.
Here.
Mr. Truax.
Here.
Mr. Whitman.
Here.
Mr. Begany.
Here. Please rise for the pledge of allegiance. Turn it on.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right.
Paul was just introduced to our chairs.
All right, item 2.01, approval of the agenda. Do I have a motion?
So moved.
Moved by Mr. Whitman, do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Ms. Dunlap. Any discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Whitman.
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap.
Aye.
Mr. Truax.
Aye.
Mr. Begany.
Aye. Item 3.01, our first presentation of the day from Paul Pendleton from Finding Leaders and the process of determining who our next superintendent will be. Just a note for the audience, this is a presentation. Board members may ask questions, but no decisions are going to be made today. If anyone in the audience has further questions later on, you can address them with us at whichever point in time. Mr. Pendleton, the floor is yours.
Thank you very much. Thanks for giving me the next 2 hours to speak with you. I understand I have limited period of time. Really, thanks for the opportunity to meet with you and share with you our story, the Finding Leaders story, and how we might be able to help you identify the new educational leader for Reynoldsburg. I'm going to give you a packet, and I know there's danger in that because you will want to leaf through all of the documents in the packet. You'll find in the immediate, when you immediately open up this document, and this is going to be my guide for the discussion tonight. So if you'll just focus on this, I'll point out other documents in the packet later, if you will, okay?
Thank you.
Let me tell you the story of Finding Leaders. I'm a retired school superintendent, and my wife said, "You can't be home laying on the couch, you have to get out and do something." So I declared myself a consultant, hung out my shingle, not knowing what that was or what I was to do. Not long after that, a friend of mine, who was an ESC superintendent at the time, got a phone call from an ESC superintendent in Southeast Ohio, Dick Murray. And Dick said to us, "I have a board of education in my county who, they don't like each other, they don't work well together, they don't play well together, nobody likes them, and they don't like anybody else. And I refuse to do the superintendent search. Will you guys come down and do it?" Harry Eastridge, the ESC superintendent from Cuyahoga County. So Harry and I decided to go down, we met with the board, and he said, "Raise your right hand, repeat after us, you'll like each other, you'll play well together, you'll work well together," and they said, "Okay, we will." We did the superintendent search for them, it worked out beautifully, in fact, we've been back since then to do the other superintendent search. The board changed their attitude, changed their behavior, it's a fantastic board. Now, this is almost 15 years later, and the district is really thriving. It wasn't so much because of us, it was because they were ready for a paradigm change. They were ready to change their minds about what they're going to do. So Harry and I went back and started to study how executive searches really ought to be done. Did a lot of research, and we founded this company called Finding Leaders. And Finding Leaders is founded on the principle of community engagement. As I talk tonight, you're going to see strands of community engagement woven throughout everything we do. It's one of our core values. The core value is the engagement of people, the engagement of stakeholders in the process. A lot of reasons for that. One is, if you engage stakeholders, they feel like they've had some input, not feel, they actually have some input into the selection of a new education leader. They don't make the choice. You make the choice, you vote on it. In fact, as we work with stakeholders, we always tell them, please don't say to the Board of Education, make sure you hire this person and not that person. That's not their role. Their role is to provide input to you. Secondly, having some input, they feel a sense of support for this new person. It's not someone just coming in brand new because they've had some interaction with your new educational leader. So that's kind of our philosophy. That's kind of who we are. We have about 13 consultants around the state of Ohio who work with us. So if we're fortunate enough to work with you, you will immediately have a team of about 13 individuals. There will be two people assigned to this search. I might be one of them. I might not be. We can discuss that. Ed Vitardi will be one of the persons. Ed is the guy who worked with us in the Gahanna search. Some of you are aware of that. Outstanding individual, former superintendent as well. And the two people will work through the community engagement. So I'll talk about that a little bit. Now, I'm going to look at the scope and sequence, the blue document in front of me. This is kind of a step-by-step process, and I'll start with critical questions. Again, if we're fortunate enough to work with you, the first item of business is to sit down with the board and take about 60 to 90 minutes to talk about critical questions based upon the search. Critical questions like, will you require a PhD? Will you require residency? What are the qualities and characteristics of this new person you're looking for? What kind of profile do we develop? We cover contractual issues, salary ranges, not the exact salary, but salary ranges and number of vacation days and Medicare pickup and insurance and all of the contractual issues, primarily focusing on qualities and characteristics of the new person. Now, hold that thought for a moment. That is the basis for all of our advertising. That's the basis for our recruiting, the basis for kicking off the search and developing the announcements, which you will see in your packet as well. Moving on to that announcement, we advertise in all of the places you can imagine we advertise. Our own website, we have a national website called AppliTrack K-12. You might use AppliTrack here, I'm not sure. It gives us national exposure. And I know that based upon today's newspaper article that you have some interest in a national search. If you do, we primarily use not only AppliTrack K-12, it's k12jobspots.com, but we utilize Education Week as a primary source for national advertising. We have a relationship with Howard University out of Washington, D.C., which is primarily a minority recruiting agency. So we have tentacles. One of the main Ohio websites is MOECN, which is the network, computer network, an internet network for all Ohio schools. In fact, every educator in the state of Ohio is connected to MOECN, so that gets the word out. And we'll work with you if you want to utilize social media. We do that as well. We've had some success, and there are some issues connected to social media as well. So that's the way we begin to advertise. The step three is engagement. We feel strongly that you have a wonderful opportunity in your community to engage people in this process. The way we prefer to do that is we will conduct as many focus groups as you want us to. In one district we conducted, I think it was 21 focus groups. In other districts, sometimes it's 10, sometimes it's 4, sometimes it's 15. Whatever you decide, we will conduct. And these focus groups are meant to touch stakeholders. So we prefer to conduct a focus group in each building, with each staff, offering them the opportunity for input. We like students to have input, so especially high school students, a wonderful opportunity to engage students, and students will come into the picture a little bit later as well. PTA groups, we've utilized city councils, we've interviewed the mayor, we use the same questions in all of the focus groups. The Board of Education will have that opportunity as well. Then we collect all of that information and all of that data and bring it back to you and say to you that here's what the groups tend to be saying about the qualities and the characteristics of the new educational leader. And therefore, this appears to be the profile of the person we're looking for, which ultimately has to be approved by you, obviously. That's really important that we define that profile based upon the qualities and characteristics and based upon all of the interactions we have with stakeholders. Really, really important. That's that first step in engagement, public engagement. Then recruit. That really ought to say recruit, 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 recruit. In today's educational world, the superintendent is either the second or the third most difficult position to fill in a school district, the first being the treasurer. So hold on to Tammy closely. The second maybe is high school principal or superintendent, depending on how you look at that. With our network of about 13 people across Ohio, and we have some person in Arizona as well, and a person in Indiana. With our network, we begin to contact people. I have a direct link to the BASA organization. That's the Superintendent's Association. That's one of our first phone calls. Once we understand the kind of person, the profile of the person you're looking for, and we begin to network. I'm working on a search now in Northeast Ohio that just started 2 weeks ago, and I've probably made about 10 phone calls so far. So we have to recruit. We cannot any longer just rely on receiving applications and hope we get the right person. We can't hope. You all, you know this better than I. You can't afford to make a mistake. And one of our jobs, maybe our primary job, is to help you be successful in this search. Let's go then to interviews by finding leaders in the Board of Education. We seldom, rarely, almost never, interview cold. Before we interview someone, we will do some due diligence on that person. So just based upon a nice resume we might receive, we don't interview necessarily without doing some background check. We will interview about 15 people. Could be 13, could be 17, could be 20, based on your profile. We'll interview them either here or in our office. And our job is to do some preliminary due diligence, interview those people, narrow the field down from the number of applicants we get to about 6. Could be 5, could be 7. And bring those semi-final candidates to you. We'll bring them in a thick booklet about like this with all of the information we have on each candidate. In addition, you will have the resumes of every candidate we receive. And if you want to interview 12, you can pick others to interview as well. That's your choice. So we do our due diligence. We recommend to you about 6. Then we ask the Board of Education to conduct their first round interviews of those 6. And ask you to narrow the field down to 2, if possible. We've had boards identify 3. But if you can narrow the field down to about 2, that makes your job much more focused. Once you narrow the field down to 2, then we strongly suggest stakeholder interviews. And and this again is part of our engagement process. We will give you a list of suggested stakeholders you invite to this interview, including five teachers broken down into a teacher who's been here for 20 years or more, a teacher who's been here for 5 years or less, a teacher from secondary, middle, elementary levels, and so forth. And same with the community, and same with students. We ask all administrators to attend these interviews. We ask the Board of Education to attend these interviews as well. And here's what the day looks like. Imagine assembling on day one of the final two interviews. We'll actually assemble about 3:30 in the afternoon. And it depends on your schedule, you know, when you are available. It could be 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. We will meet with that group, and typically that group is between 30 and 50 people. And we'll ask each small group, we'll ask the teacher group and the classified employees group and the student group and all the other groups to choose one spokesperson. We meet with those 5 or 6 or 7 individuals and give them a quick training session on how to interview, what you can ask, what you cannot ask in an interview. And we provide suggested questions for them. The candidate shows up 4 o'clock for an interview with spouse, if appropriate. And the spouse sits through the interview, if that's appropriate. At 4 o'clock, the candidate meets with this group of 50 people. Board members are there sitting in the back. Board members are not supposed to talk during this time, only listen, receive the feedback. Those 5, 6, 7 people sit at a round table, kind of in the middle of all of these stakeholders. And the only people who talk during that hour are these few individuals asking questions with a conversation. And that process goes on for about an hour. Goes on for 1 hour. We are there. We facilitate it. We set it up. We maintain communications. You don't have to do any of that. You show up. After the hour, the candidate is given a tour by someone in your community or a staff member who knows everything about your schools. Given a tour of facilities or sometimes community facilities for 1 hour. 5 to 6, during which time we conduct a stakeholder reflection process. And at this time, everybody but board members can talk. And we asked, what did you like about this candidate? What concerns you about this candidate? Does this candidate fit the profile? Does this candidate fit Reynoldsburg City Schools? And that conversation goes on for about 45 minutes, sometimes an hour, sometimes a little bit less. But everybody has an opportunity because they've seen this candidate interact with these 7 people. And it's a stress-filled time for the candidate. Sometimes we've had mayors sitting at the table, talking, or interacting. And we get a really good opportunity to hear what stakeholders think about that candidate. So now we're at about 6 o'clock, at which time Board of Education members take the candidate and spouse, if appropriate, out to dinner, to a local place. Not a private dinner, but hopefully a dinner where there's a table in the corner where you can have conversation. It's not an interview. You talk about your new car, the weather, football team. This is designed to see if you like each other, if you think you can get along, if there's a fit with these candidates. Because at this point, all of the 6 candidates will have the skills necessary to do the superintendent job. It becomes a matter of who best fits with the Board of Education, with community, with stakeholders. We come back from dinner between 7:30 and 8 o'clock to this room to have a last interview with that candidate. I left out a step, which I'll go back to in a moment. Day two, the next day, hopefully. Same thing with the second candidate. Same process, meet at 4 o'clock, interview from 4 to 5, 5 to 6, reflection, 6 to 7, 38 o'clock, dinner, so forth. Now, I want to back up a week. I left out a step. After the Board of Education introduced the 6, that's a two-day process, 3 one day, one evening, 3 the next evening, mayors are filled down to 6. We asked for about a week period of time before stakeholder interviews. And that's the time you do your due diligence. It's your responsibility then to make phone calls, to do visitations, to make the connections, to get you ready to make the decisions. So if a person is coming from Northeast Ohio, you may want to drive to that community and talk to board members, talk to people in the community. I've even gone to restaurants and asked waiters, waitresses about what do you think of the school district? What do you think of the superintendent here? So we give you a one sheet piece of papers with suggestions about doing due diligence. There's a paper process to follow here if you choose to use it. It's really, really important to do your due diligence. Now, let me back up a little bit more. Once we get to the final 6, we cover, previously, recall in the checklist, we've talked with the Board of Education about the basic terms of the contract. So we'll know basically that the salary range is between this figure and this figure. And we asked for about a $20,000 range. We will know basically that you want to give 20 days or 25 days or 30, whatever it is, vacation days. We know basically that you're talking about some kind of a multi-year contract. You won't give anybody for a one-year contract. So we'll outline those parameters of the contract that you've already discussed with each candidate. So they know going into the final interviews what the basic terms of the contract is. And that's extremely important. Most other firms I'm aware of leave that step out and say to the board, okay, identify your candidate, then we will worry about the contract. We had a situation in, not through us, a situation in North East Ohio last year. This was a year and a half ago, where that process was followed, and then the search firm said, okay, now let's think about the contract. And they couldn't come to terms. The paper had already been notified of the person, and they just could not negotiate. And they lost their number one candidate. We're not going to let that happen. And we'll have that all set. So, I'm going back to the second day of the final stakeholder interview. You finish your interview, formal interview, at about 9 o'clock, 9:30, and 10 o'clock at night. You were sitting in this room debating. And you've heard a lot of input from stakeholders. You've got our input from our due diligence and from our interview process. You have a lot of information based on that and based on your own due diligence. You have a lot of information on the table. And you debate and you argue with each other and make the determination you want candidate A. At that point, we as representative of the Board of Education or the Board President, or put the person on speakerphone, however we choose to do it, make the call to candidate A and say that the Reynoldsburg Board of Education wants you to come and be the next education leader. And we finalize the contract right there and then. We've already talked with you about the basic terms of the contract. Now let's get real specific. And they will know that the salary range is between this and this. And they won't be there if they make X plus Y plus 20,000. they will know that this is not the place for them, that they won't accept the job. So usually that goes very smoothly, and we end up negotiating, talking about a few elements of the contract. So that's over, that's done. We make the call to the second candidate, inform them that they were not chosen, sorry. We always maintain communication with all candidates. We set up the interviews, and we call them, we notify them they're not going on for the interviews. We send letters to all candidates. That's our responsibility, and we are at every interview, unless you kick us out, facilitating the interview. We keep time, we provide you with questions, you choose from the questions we have, or add your own questions. So we have all of that in place to help you facilitate. Our job is to engage as many people as possible, to make sure you don't make a mistake, and we are constant, even up to the last hour, doing our research on the individuals. And if during the last day or the last hour we discover something that you ought to know that we didn't know previously, no one knew previously, we will inform you at that point. Just, hey, we happen to run across this as something you might want to explore. So that's the stakeholder interview process. Oh, and then we ask the Board of Education to set up a special meeting within 3 workdays, I'll tell you why, and hire the person off of the formal advice contract. Your attorney will develop a contract for you. You may already have a model that you utilize with your present superintendent. On that day you hire, we also suggest at that point that there be a little reception for the new educational leader. And your PTAs, your PTOs, community stakeholders might have a hand in putting that together. We also invite everyone who's participated as part of the stakeholder interview process to attend that reception. And we oftentimes have 30, 40, 50 people attend that reception. Okay, that leads me to the transition phase. We feel strongly that your job isn't completed when you hire the person and you turn the keys to the building's central office over to the new person and say, gosh, our job is done, best of luck. Your job isn't done, because part of our job, and certainly your job, is to create the conditions so this person can be successful. And those conditions are not haphazardly planned. We have a transition plan which we give to you. I used to try to sell it and it didn't work. So we give it now. We give you the transition plan. We give the new educational leader a transition plan, the same plan which outlines very basically what we think ought to happen in the next 9 months. During that period of time, I think there are either 2 or 3 Board of Education, superintendent, treasurer, maybe upper level administration retreats to talk about expectations, to talk about roles and responsibilities, to define communications, just to get everybody on the same page. In that plan, there's a review of board policy, there's a review of negotiated agreements, there are suggestions about meeting with every remote department, so the bus garage and kitchen individuals. There are suggestions about in May a 360-degree feedback for the new superintendent. So that's a 9-month outline. We think it's really, really important. That is our process, and we feel very, very strongly about it. We always go back to that core value of engagement, of community engagement. And you have a wonderful opportunity, and I know there have been some difficulties here, but you have a wonderful opportunity through engagement to rebuild some trust, to build some trust, to build a network, to help to help those who own this school district, community members, feel that sense of ownership, because they own this school district. You are representatives for the ownership, but you have to connect through engagement opportunities with the community. Maybe I've talked enough. Let me answer questions. Rob, I know you've got probing questions that we talked about earlier, so what questions do you have?
Well, you mentioned a national search.
Yes.
Can you give me an indicator or an example perhaps of maybe the furthest search, you know, somebody in New York and you hired somebody out of California or some of those ideas?
We hired a superintendent from Eanes, Texas.
Okay.
You'll know who this person is, or some of you will know what I mentioned. From Eanes, Texas, who had an Ohio connection many, many years ago, came to Medina City Schools, south of Cleveland. He was there for, I forget, 4 or 5 years, and then he went to Upper Arlington Schools, where he just retired 2 years ago, I think. Another individual we hired from Wisconsin, who is now presently the superintendent of West Muskingum Schools.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a national network. And it, from what I read in the paper today, you have some interest in a national search. And that's fine. We have to be really careful about national searches. It's a good idea. We spread the word. We have to do our due diligence better during a national search. But yes, we can do that easily.
I know when we talked, just as far as a time frame that you're looking at, assuming that your firm is picked, then ballpark when those interview processes would start, and then when we would look to find, you know, to announce that final candidate.
Sure. In your packet, you can look at it later, but in your packet is a sample timeline. We're looking at 3.5 to 4 months. We'd love
for the entire process.
One of the first things we will do is propose a very specific timeline to you and sit down and talk about that. What do you like about the timeline? What concerns you? What adjustments do we make in our suggested timeline? But about 3.5 to 4 months. And I think in the paper today it talked about you were looking at the end of March, early April,
mm-hmm.
thereabouts, and that fits within that timeline.
You talked about when you discussed the, you know, the general terms of the contract with the candidates, so that by the time we're ready to make a decision, hopefully, you know, we know that you know, that we're not going to be surprised by some unsurpassable condition. But when does that take place? In this
critical decisions, early on in the critical decisions. In your packet, you will find us a sample checklist.
Okay.
And the checklist covers all of the components of the contract.
Okay.
Not specifically, but generally.
Well, I'm sure, yeah, I can read it in here, but I know you were going through the various parts here, and this was sometime between when you had about, you know, 12 and 20 people,
okay.
and when we had it narrowed down to 2. So did that happen sometime, like,
We
know.
Share that with the semi-final candidates.
Okay.
The final six,
yes. Okay.
And we, when we make contact with candidates or when candidates call us, the first question asked will be, tell me about the Board of Education. Do they get along? Do they like each other? Are they known in the community for dysfunction? So I need to understand that as well. That's the first question. And then through the conversation, we always ask, what's your base salary? And if they tell us $190,000, which is not too unusual outside the state of Ohio, we know they probably don't fit in our base salary here. I don't know that for sure, but in the small district I'm working out in northeast Ohio, they wouldn't fit. So we have some conversation. We do not print the base. We do not print any of the general components of the contract. We do discuss that, however, with candidates.
Okay.
You answered a lot of the questions that I'd already written down. Do you track, have any data with retention? And kind of a two-part to go along with that. Do you track that and say, okay, this has been our success rate? And then also, too, what if we find ourselves, how much farther beyond the hiring do your services go because it has, you know, 1 or 2 months that person leaves for whatever reason?
Sure. Good question. We do track. The average suburban superintendent stays about 5.8 years.
With your?
No.
No,
that's
okay.
The average
okay.
The average urban superintendent stays about 2.7 years, I think it is. Mm-hmm. We find that our averages exceed the 5.8 years. We're pushing towards 7 years. To answer your question, we offer a one-year guarantee. If something happens during that 12 months that it just doesn't work, something went wrong, we conduct the search again without charge. We guarantee that for at least 1 year.
And then just, you know, and maybe this is just experience, but there are obviously a lot of soft skills that go along with a position like this. How do you gauge that?
How do we what?
Gauge.
Oh.
Or, you know, maybe when you're going through that initial, you've received, you know, before we become involved with a stakeholder, when you're going through those initial resumes.
A lot of that has to do with the profile. We work with the Board of Education and stakeholders to develop it. So we have a really clear understanding and a clear picture of the kind of person we're looking for. And we have an understanding of those soft skills. The soft skills are, if you look in the center of all of this, is about relationships. And that's relationship with a capital R. It's a relationship with us. That's a relationship with community, with stakeholders, with all of the candidates. That's a relationship with your chosen educational leader. So this, to us, it's all about relationships. And we're constantly judging and overseeing the individuals we talk to, and in our own due diligence. How well do these people develop relationships? How well can they maintain relationships? We also, we want to know if the individual is an introvert or an extrovert. We can judge that pretty clearly. Both types of individuals can be successful. They bring different strengths. They bring different challenges to the district. We offer, you will see in our proposal, we offer something called a Harrison assessment, which I strongly suggest you utilize. There's a little additional fee. I think it's $250 per person. And Rob's shaking his head. Are you familiar with Harrison?
Yeah, we've used it before.
Sure. It gives you a really clear understanding and a picture of those soft kind of skills you're talking about. The strengths of the people as compared to the job responsibilities. We can do Myers-Briggs as well. Harrison is a little more in-depth look.
Myers-Briggs, do we use that?
No, that's something else that I've used things like that in my sociology classes at times. So I'll ask the question that's floating around everybody's mind, the cost of this of these services.
It's in your packet, and we have a sample contract and a proposal. The cost for our service is $10,600 plus expenses, and we will work with you to define those expenses. If it's a national search, the expenses will be a little more, to advertise with EdWeek, both in the written publication and the online publication. If it were not a national search, those expenses would be limited to about $200 for advertising within Ohio. Most advertising, without utilizing LinkedIn or Monster, for example, most of our advertising is free. You will have a few other expenses, some travel for us, and we can define that very clearly. you might have other expenses if you pay for individuals to come for interviews. So if someone comes from Des Moines, Iowa, you might want to pay for mileage, travel expenses, and a hotel for that. That will be totally up to you, though.
Do you have a ballpark that you could give us, just a ballpark for expenses, a range?
I'll take a shot at it, but don't write it down.
I just have no clue.
Okay, well, I'm thinking $1,000 to $2,000. And again, we can define it very clearly when we get together.
How do we handle issues regarding discussions and maintaining confidential information and not violating any sunshine laws, but still being able to discuss options as a board that might not necessarily need to make it into the public eye right away?
It's really a good question. We're very, very sensitive about the sunshine issues. We learned a great lesson in Delaware City Schools a few years ago, so we know that. There are some contractual issues. There are qualities and characteristics issues. We can talk about those qualities and characteristics in the profile and involve the public. And we will talk about those contractual issues in executive session. So I would lean on your treasurer and your counsel to make sure we follow the sunshine law. But there are some very, very specific things we can discuss in the executive session, and we should. You have in your packet also a list of references. Please feel free to call any of the references. I listed names and phone numbers of contact individuals. You have in your packet as well. On the right side, there's a sample contract, or I think it's on the left side actually. There's a sample contract, a sample proposal, sample timeline, a sample brochure used for, I think, Revere local schools. There is in there a step-by-step process. In case you wanted to do this search by yourself, I don't suggest that actually. There is the checklist that we initially, there's a posting that we utilize in advertising. Give you some indication of that.
Did you say, did I miss it, about how many searches you do a year?
Yeah, you didn't ask, but it's a good question. 2 years ago, we did 21 searches, not all superintendents. We do treasurer searches as well.
We're good with that. We're good with ours.
last year, we did less, I forget, 10 or 12 or so. We will not be a company that does 30 or 40 superintendent searches. We have a really, really good network of individuals. I think it's the best network in the state of Ohio of individuals connected to the educational world. We even have a businessman who's not connected to the educational world on our list who advises us as well. Other questions?
Joe asked why. I'm surprised. I appreciate you telling me.
Okay. My pleasure, and I really hope we have the opportunity to meet again and to work together. We will do an excellent job with you. Thank you.
Thank you very much for coming on.
Here's another packet we requested.
Yes,
Joe,
please.
You remember this?
Damn it.
Take that.
Thank you
again.
Right,
thank you.
Is the other person coming at 5?
I supposed to be.
When is the board going to make this decision?
Soon.
3 or 4 months.
We have our board meeting in 2 weeks, so I would assume that it would not be any longer than that. I'm sure you would find out the decision prior to that, but as far as the official announcement, as far as the official, voting on, it would probably be at that point in time, unless we feel that I doubt we're going to have another special meeting just to approve. It'll be something that we can waive at that point in time.
If they would be notified before the board meeting, how is that going to happen without violating a sunshine law?
What you can do is take a consensus, not a vote, just an understanding, and the board president can develop a consensus from your discussion, not a vote.
We'll work on through with that one. That's a good point, Neil.
Okay.
That's a good point, yeah.
And if you should decide tomorrow, we'd be ready to go to work the next day.
Thank you. Do you want to?
Then go make sure.
Yeah, see if anybody's out. Do you want to take a brief recess, or are we okay once they're ready to go? We're absolutely ready.
I wanted to be honest. It's just as easy to do the presentation without a PowerPoint. You do have a copy of it in front of you, but members of your community here, your staff, it's nice for them to be able to see what we're talking about as well. So it's nice and purple, which is great. But it's great to be with all of you. My name is Cheryl Ryan. I'm the Director of Board Services at the Ohio School Board Association, and it's our pleasure to be with you. What I've brought for you is, in the plastic cover, is our full proposal and lots of other information about the search and the details of the search. The presentation on top is just for you to follow along with me if you would like to. Take a couple of notes. And I'm happy to take questions at any point during the presentation, so stop me if there's something that you'd like to talk further about. Okay? So the first thing that I would share with you and with your community is that OSBA is a board association. We've been an association since 1955, and we work on behalf of the board members in your district. Although all of the members of your district, your staff, your administrators, are also welcome and open at almost all OSBA activities, we are the board's association, and so we do a search from the board's perspective. As you all know, you have two employees in your district by law, your superintendent and your treasurer, and all of the three search consultants at OSBA have all been board members. So we all have done this job. We've hired superintendents and treasurers. We work with boards all the time to work well with their communities and their administrators. And so we believe that because we are the board's association, that that's an important perspective for us to share with you. You have been a member of our association for 59 or 62 years, so we take pride in that partnership and want to do everything we can to make sure that partnership stays healthy and strong. We do emphasize a leadership fit profile with our searches. One of the things I believe we do very well is get to know the board members individually, get to know the board as a whole, how it feels about where the district is now, where the district wants to go. The things that the board feels very enthused about in terms of what's taking place in the district, the things that maybe they would like to see changed or maybe even eliminated or enhanced. We want to make sure that we understand the board's perspective in all of those things so that as we are working with candidates and recruits for the position, we can forward your perspective to them. We do understand that you need a flexible and a customized process. Our processes are customized. We've done searches since early 1980s, so more than 1,000 searches, and they do generally follow a similar type model. I think that would be true with almost any association you would hire. But we also pride ourselves on having a very customized process. So beginning with our first meeting with the board, meeting with community groups, should the board want that to be part of the process, all the way through to helping the board with interviews and the appointment process, all of that is customized. I did include a proposed timeline in your proposal in that plastic booklet if you'd like to look at it at some point, but all of those deadlines again and dates would be confirmed with you the first time that we need to plan the search in detail. We do have three full-time search consultants. We do not contract out our searches. We're one of the only search organizations, certainly in Ohio, that can say that we do not use contractors. We have five full-time staff in board services, three who are doing searches as professional consultants, and two support staff. We take a lot of pride in being there for you when you call. So the consultants are on the road quite a bit, but there's always somebody there. Certainly, you'll be in touch with your consultant by cell phone all the time. And because there are three of us in the office, everybody is well-versed in what's going on with our searches and with your search here in Reynoldsburg each step of the way, so that should you ever need to reach me for any reason and I wasn't available, Steve or Terry, my colleagues, would certainly be able to talk to you. So, the OSBA process in a nutshell is, as I spoke about, is leadership profile development. That's a really important first step. We follow that up with nationwide recruitment, and we'll talk a little bit more about the ways that we can recruit nationally and how we appreciate doing that if you want to do that. It's certainly a question anymore. When we sit down with boards, it's always interesting. Some boards will say, Cheryl, we really would like you to do some nationwide recruiting. We'd like to see candidates from other states on our list. We'd like to know that Reynoldsburg is attractive to candidates from Wichita or Dallas or Miami, as well as those from Ohio. I'll also meet with boards that say, Cheryl, the legislative landscape in Ohio is pretty complex, and we really think that we need to focus our attention on finding somebody for whom that learning curve will be pretty flat. So we would have that conversation and the pros and cons of both. We do nationwide recruitment, and we are good recruiters. We do active and ongoing marketing. We are very active at OSBA in social media, and your search would be included in our social media campaigns, certainly on our website. We develop a customized brochure for you. We would talk about how you want that delivered to the community, but that would also be on our website, and it certainly would be linked multiple ways nationally as well. Marketing of the position is really important. We do lots of travel in the state, and everywhere we go, we talk about the current searches we're doing. We pay lots of individual visits with people. We entertain people in our office who are interested in talking to us more and learning more about what's going on with your district and what you're looking for in a leader. We do interesting professional and objective screening. All of our applying now, as well, everything that the candidates do with our search and everything you would do with your candidates is all online. We don't use paper anymore. We do an internal screening at OSBA. We bring into OSBA at the time your position closes. So after you said the deadline, whatever deadline you give for applications, let's just say for argument's sake, it's March 1st. Sometime after March 1st, we would invite two or three superintendents into our office who have experience in a district with some similarities to yours, either size or demographic makeup, or maybe familiarity with some of the programs that you offer in your varied courses. And we would ask them to come. And as superintendents, former superintendents, talk to us about what they think of your applicant pool. We will share with them what we found out from you in our profile screening, what we found out from your community and focus groups, and they would look at all the applications and they would say, Cheryl, of these 25 applications or however many it is, we believe that this board would be well served to consider talking to these seven people. And we offer that to you. When we come to you, the board, to talk about the screening, we will share with you what that committee thought. But you are under no obligation to take their recommendations, and certainly you see all the applications that have been filed for the position. We do a board-centered candidate evaluation. Your consultant, that would be me, would work with you on all of your interviews, designing questions, talking to you about what you most want to get. We design in a first-round interview a scripted interview so that every candidate gets the same questions in the same way. Really helps boards we have found that are not necessarily HR professionals or are not necessarily K-12 educators to look at a wide variety of individuals and weigh them on an apples-to-apples basis. So our first interview tends to be fairly scripted. It tends to be board talking to the candidate giving answers. It doesn't leave a whole lot of room for a lot of what I would call improvisation among the board or the candidate, but it allows you to let me know after the end of those interviews who you feel most fits the profile that you've developed and moves on to become one of your finalists. During the final round interviews, another thing we talk about in profile development is whether you want the whole interview process to be board only, or whether you want to involve any of the stakeholder groups in that process. If you do, we certainly have models for that, and are experienced in do that, and we will be on hand. For instance, if you bring back two or three finalists for one evening each, or a combined evening of meetings with some of your administrators, some of your staff, and yourselves, we will be on hand to monitor and facilitate those processes for you if that's what you'd like to see happen. That leads, of course, to appointment. We hope that we're able to help you determine that you have a candidate that all of you really are excited to embrace and appoint, become the next educational leader here in Reynoldsburg, and we can certainly help you in terms of gathering research and data about comparables and salaries and benefits and those kinds of things. Happy to work with your board attorney or anybody that you would like us to do to help you make that as easy a process as possible. So what sets OSBA apart? As I mentioned before, we believe the customized attention. We have the capacity at OSBA to do multiple searches. Some years there's a bunch, some years there's not so many, but even in years where there's a bunch, we've always had the customers and the members of our association who have used us for an executive search tell us that they felt very much like they were the only search we were doing, and I would hope that that would maintain the truth for you. Complete interview and evaluation support. We want this to be your search. We want these to be your decisions, but we're very experienced in this process, and I'm prepared to hold your hands as much as you want them held. We use the Achiever Candidate Assessment Tool, and I'll talk just a little bit more about that. And we do leadership development training. Included in your search is a board development workshop with your new leader once he or she is hired. Sometime within the first 6 months of his or her appointment here in Reynoldsburg, we'll come and sit down with all of you and your superintendent and your treasurer, if you'd like, and do some communications training to make sure you all start off on the right foot. We do guaranteed satisfaction. So if something happens with your search, it falls apart, you choose to appoint somebody that for some reason does not take the appointment, or you're not happy with your candidates, we do the search again and it costs you nothing. So we, yes.
So can I just ask that right now then? So if we had somebody who came in and it didn't work out, not that, because I know sometimes when there are a lot of candidates in the pool and you know, they may be interviewing at multiple places, but what if we have someone in place and then for whatever reason they leave, it doesn't work out?
You know, I think that's a really good question, and, you know, there's no wood to knock on, but I really hope that would really never happen. I've been at OSBA almost 10 years. That's happened once, that a superintendent left in the first year or year and a half of his appointment. We did redo the search for them. Contractually, we would not be obligated to do so, but we probably would do that for you. The guarantee happens more often, and probably twice in my 10 years, where the board was very settled on a candidate, we'll say Mary, and could not come to contract terms and had to reopen the search. So that tends to be the more typical reason that we would use the guarantee, and that's pretty rare. But I would tell you that if you hire somebody that for some reason catastrophe strikes and it just is not a match made in heaven, we would certainly want to help you find somebody else. I do hope though that because of the care that we take in terms of finding that fit, that it would not be an issue for you. We are members of the National Affiliation of Superintendent Searchers. There are about 35 state associations that have professional searchers and do searches in their home state associations. We meet together twice a year as a group to talk about not only best practices, but to talk about individuals in the superintendent industry, game, field, who are available. And if you should get a candidate from Florida or Alabama or Kansas, I would be able to pick up the phone and talk to somebody I know very well about that candidate and his or her experience. Combined, those search professionals have just a tremendous amount of experience, and it's a great way to cost-effectively pitch your search nationwide. If you do want to do nationwide recruitment, and it's your choice to put ads in Education Week or some of those other publications that are, can be expensive, we can talk about that. But each of our 35 NAS affiliated states will post your position on their websites free of charge for us. Mentioned a little bit the Achiever. We are the only association in Ohio that uses the Achiever. It's a personality dimension, leadership dimension, online assessment that all of our finalists take. We're the only organization in Ohio with permission to use that in the public education field. It's been around about 40 years. There's a tremendous number of corporations, including Worthington Industries and the Limited, that use the Achiever for their leaders. We adapted that assessment to the education arena, and all of our finalists are asked to take that. It provides the board yet another tool when you get down to second round interviewing and finalist interviewing to look and see something about the way this person naturally thinks and works as a leader. And it also provides a wonderful set of professional development suggestions and also interview suggestions for the second round interview.
I have a question about the Achiever assessment.
Mm-hmm.
So how would you compare that to other assessments like Myers-Briggs or Harrison?
I would say in some ways it's comparable. It measures both leadership skills as well as personality dimensions. Things like mental acuity, rigidity, collaborative, those kinds of things. So in some ways there are some overlap with other what I would call quality leadership assessments, and I've taken it myself and I think it pegged me pretty darn well. I really believe very strongly in the Achiever and the value that it provides to the search. We offer the Achiever as a pay-for-service at OSBA, and many districts use it to hire administrators and actually for board development. We've had several districts where the board's taken the Achiever and then done a communications workshop with us, but it's included in the cost of our search for you.
Okay. But in one sense, like difference between Achiever versus the others you mentioned?
I think it's pretty involved. The report you get from the Achiever is probably about a 35 to 40 page report.
Okay.
At the end of the assessment. Takes candidates about probably 2 hours to take it. They can log in and they can log out. But I think it's fairly thorough. It also cross-checks for evasion, and it has some things built in to tell us whether or not candidates are trying to sort of play the game or not, and I found it to be quite accurate.
Okay.
We did provide some references for you in our proposal. As I said, we've done probably 1,000 executive searches over the years, but I've provided a list for you of some of the most recent ones. And we're certainly happy to connect you. If anybody on those lists is no longer a board member, no longer a treasurer, for example, and you'd like to speak to any district that we've worked with, we'd be happy to connect you with current people or somebody who was part of the search when we did it. As I mentioned, we've done a customized timeline. I believe the timeline I created for you has you making an appointment in April. I assume that you would be looking for an August 1st start, but that varies by boards depending on the interim situation or the current superintendent's plans, and I'm happy to work with you on your timeline in any way that makes sense for you. Community and staff involvement. I have not done a search recently where the board did not want some level of community or staff involvement, and I would certainly want to talk to you about what you want there. Your search includes focus groups, so one of the things I would really want to talk to you about is who should be part of those focus groups, which stakeholder groups should I be talking with. Your search would involve me coming to your district. I would work with somebody in probably the superintendent or the treasurer's office on finding a day where there's not a lot of other tremendous school activity taking place, and we would come to your district and we would talk to groups. I would say on average we work with between 4 and maybe 8 focus groups. So we talk to you about how those groups should be made, and we would spend time in your school buildings or wherever you want those to be held, and basically have kind of a profile or a leadership development conversation similar to the one we would have with you. The purpose of that is, one, to communicate to your community that you want them to be invested, that you want them to be partners. Two, it gives us a way to measure your perceptions of the needs for a new superintendent with those of your staff and stakeholder groups. Sometimes we find that something that the board is very invested in, the community is less invested in, or sometimes we find that teachers in particular, or principals in particular, have a very strong need for a superintendent that hasn't been voiced to us by the board. So it helps us do that. We believe that's important. And again, as I said, it's not the most common thing. I would say when it comes to finalists, so you get down to your final two, maybe three people, I would say maybe 60-70% of the time now, those people are meeting with some set of community members, and we would talk about models for doing that. And certainly we would be open, as I mentioned, to working with staff and with you in terms of leadership development on goal setting and involving staff in those processes once a superintendent has taken his or her seat. So here's some philosophies I really wanted you to consider. One is the decisions are yours. I hope that you will take advantage of the benefit of my experience, but your decisions are final, and we will take our lead from you, the board. Community input is vital, and for the reasons that I've already mentioned to you. All information about candidates received should be shared with all board members. You will talk maybe to another search organization that will limit who they share with you in terms of applicants. We believe it is not our job to eliminate any of your applicants. We believe it's your job to make those decisions. We certainly want to give you the benefit of our understanding of these people, what we know about them, what our internal screening committee knows about them, and we will share all of that with you. But you choose your candidates. The process must be fair, transparent, and ethical. We do abide by sunshine laws and public record laws at OSBA. I will say that we generally have a fine reputation with media members, and we work with them. We return phone calls promptly. We will talk with them about answering their questions. I have found that most members of the media, particularly the ones that live in your school community, want the best for you, and we will do everything we can to establish a relationship with any interested members of the media so that the search that you want is a search that we can deliver, and hopefully one that that doesn't cause you to have a much more limited pool than you might otherwise. I've included, these are just quotes from some happy members. So, a successful search begins with a strong team of professional search consultants. We really want a comprehensive, transparent, actively recruited search. And we are very, very happy when we have long-term relationships result. I will tell you that we started using the Achiever 4 years ago, and that's still, we still don't have a long term to judge, but none of our superintendents since we started using the Achiever have left their positions. So we're hoping that we can say that 6 or 7 or 9 years from now. But we hope that you will be very happy with your superintendent and that he or she will be very happy to be a member of the Reynoldsburg community.
I have a question.
Yes.
You mentioned none of the superintendents you've placed since you began using the Achiever have left yet. So that makes me wonder, how long have you been using the Achiever?
Since just about 4 years.
Okay, for about 4 years. Okay.
Yeah.
And what was the typical length of time for a superintendent to stay, you know, before that?
You know, it's interesting. We have anecdotal information that the average service for OSBA placed superintendents is longer than the state average. Mm-hmm. But nobody's done a really good research study to give us more than anecdotal information.
And the state
What Ohio Department of Education says is that the average length of service for a superintendent is somewhat less than 5 years. Many superintendents have been in place much longer than that. I will tell you that it seems to me from doing this for a long time that city superintendents, urban superintendents, tend to have less long tenures than those in farm communities and much more rural communities. I think that probably has something to do with the complexity of the job. And but we would certainly hope that you're successful. And you know, right here in Central Ohio, there are lots of cases of very, very long-term superintendents. Central Ohio is a very attractive place for superintendents to work, and I believe that your search will be very successful in attracting some fine candidates.
Cheryl, how many do you do? You said about 1,000 in your history, but how many a year?
You know, a really big year for us is probably 22 searches, and those are split between superintendent and treasurer, and that's a calendar year. Last year was a really slow year for transitions for superintendents and treasurers, and so we did fewer last year than we've done in previous years, but the year before that was one of our biggest years. And just while we're talking about the number, the kind of January to April season is probably the big season. That's when people that know they want to make a change, know they want to step up, know they want to try something more challenging or something different, that's when they generally start looking around.
So that's a good time to...
It's generally probably, I would say our applicant pools are largest in the winter and early spring than they are in the fall. Mm-hmm. They're probably larger on average. So I just wanted to say here that we hope that all of you will be really invested. I know that Reynoldsburg is one of those districts that's really good about talking about its vision and its goals and some of those things. And we hope that will continue, and we'd certainly like to help you talk through those things if facilitation is important to you. I did mention our guarantee. And the other thing I really want to mention again is that 59-year partnership that I mentioned at the beginning of this presentation. We are not an organization that is going to be excited to do this job poorly so that you're unhappy, because our partnership with you goes well beyond the search for your superintendent. There's lots of programs and lots of board activities that we do, and it makes sense for us to make sure that you're happy at the end of the search. And that's it. Are there other questions I can answer?
You mentioned board-centered search is a very strong value you have. Could you kind of give an idea, give an example of maybe here's something that a board-centered search would do, a non-board-centered search would more likely do something else?
I think it's mostly, Mr. Whitman, about the perspective. I think when former board members and professional board search consultants are doing your search, it's a different perspective. We've all sat exactly where you're sitting. And so when you talk with us about issues you're having, maybe it's open enrollment, maybe it's English language learners, maybe it's student achievement, maybe it's equity issues in your district. We've been there as board members. And so we have a perspective that is shared. I think that people that sometimes do search who are former administrators do a quality job, and I would never want to knock the work that they do. But they bring an administrator perspective to the search role, and we bring a board member perspective to the search role. And so that's how I would answer your question.
Okay. You touched on a couple of questions that we asked the last group that came in to present. I'll ask the one that, again, is on everyone's mind, is the cost. What the estimated cost would be for the service?
The cost for our superintendent search is $7,500. And I will tell you that there is a typo in your brochure, in your proposal, that says $79. So please note it's $7,500. And that's an all-inclusive cost with the exception of mileage. Fortunately, you're in Central Ohio. That won't hurt you too much. The only other cost that could affect your search would be the marketing costs. We write the customized brochure, and that's free of charge. If you choose to print and mail it, we simply pass through the printing and mailing charge for the brochure. It's $1,600. But many districts are choosing only to do electronic distribution of that brochure, and that wouldn't cost you anything. If you choose to advertise in national magazines, we've had searches advertise in Wall Street Journal or New York Times or Education Week, that can get expensive, and those would be additional examples of additional expenses. But I will tell you that the very great majority, probably 95% of our searches come in under $10,000, even after expenses are included. And I would think that would be the case for you, even if you print your brochure again, because you're only about 14 miles from the office.
And even if we do a national search, which we said that might add a little bit.
Yeah, it would depend on how you choose to advertise, but much of our national advertising we do for free, because we're a member of NSBA and a member of the other state associations, and so.
You said that was successful, just.
It is pretty successful. I will tell you my opinion, and actually we're talking about doing a research study at OSBA about this, particularly about whether or not it still makes sense to print and mail search brochures, whether or not that generates a greater pool. I think the pools are deeper. More candidates apply when we print and mail the brochure. I think one of the reasons for that is people who are not necessarily looking for a job. You know, a happy superintendent in Wadsworth, Ohio, isn't somebody who's looking on websites for available jobs. He or she is just really busy and they're really enjoying their work. But then they get our brochure in the mail and go, wow, Reynoldsburg, that might be kind of interesting. So I think sometimes the printed brochure helps generate an applicant who might not otherwise be searching. I think that if an applicant is searching for a position, they'll find your posting regardless. And even if you don't print, again, we're tweeting and it's on Facebook and, you know, I mean, there isn't an applicant in this state or this region or maybe even national that isn't going to probably hear about this position one way or the other through electronic media.
And something that I had asked before, but I think you may have answered it. So when we're looking at some of those soft skills that a superintendent would bring to the table, that's with the Avenger.
Iron Man.
I do like Avenger much better. Yeah. So what the Achiever does, which I think is very interesting, and I'll give you an example. Let me think of one. Okay, I mentioned one of the skills it measures is mental acuity. And it measures where somebody falls on a 0 to 9 scale. And we have an ideal range for superintendents. And the people that own the Achiever and have worked with it for 40 years that helped us develop the dimensions for superintendents. Really what happened 5 years ago is we named about a dozen superintendents around the state that we all felt at OSBA were doing a fantastic job. And we asked them if they would take the Achiever so that we could set a superintendent benchmark. And they were from different kinds of different districts, different sizes, different places in their careers, etc. Anyway, our ideal range for mental acuity is between, I think it's 5 and 7. So if you have somebody who's 9 on a mental acuity scale, they are super quick. They conceptualize very quickly. They get it really, really fast. But what we want to make sure, if we get somebody who's a 9 in mental acuity, isn't also high on the chart in something like rigidity or tolerance. Because sometimes people who are super high on the mental acuity scale are also not the most forgiving types, or they're impatient, or, you know, that kind of thing. So what the Achiever is able to do is help you balance those things and find the balance. So we find out that Joe is a 9 on the mental acuity scale, but he's showing that he understands that about himself. And he's also a good collaborator, and he's learned to take his time in evaluating people. So he understands that about himself, and he's compensating for it. So I think the Achiever does a good job in helping us that way. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is that helpful?
Yep, exactly. And then you just kind of even raised a new question in my brain, so, or a new dimension about, you know, Ohio law possibly maybe being kind of a complex and then doing a national search. I mean, what is your experience with people coming from outside an area and being able to kind of...
You know, I'm going to answer the question really honestly, okay? You will have out-of-state applicants. I can almost guarantee it. And some of them will be fine candidates, experienced superintendents. And it's always interesting why an applicant would apply for your position. Sometimes we find that they have family in Ohio, or they grew up here, or maybe they're even a Reynoldsburg alumni, you know, and they want to come back. And that's great. If they have connections to the state and they're fast learners, then that can sometimes work. But I've had boards say, Cheryl, we feel so strongly about the attractiveness of our district that we're going to be really disappointed if we don't have 15% of our candidates from out of state. And so we end up with candidates, and we end up with some from out of state. And I'll tell you what, it's difficult to get them to the interview table, because a board will start looking at the Ohio candidates and see that they've got experience here in our state, maybe as a superintendent, assistant superintendent, maybe in another very large, complex district like yours. And boards will tend to choose their own. It's interesting. So we will talk through all of those things. And I will just tell you that experientially, boards tend to fall on the side of the local candidate, meaning statewide. But they usually are attracted in to knowing that there are other candidates from other states that might be interested.
You mentioned our going on 60-year partnership with OSBA.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm curious, have you done superintendent searches with us before?
You know, I tried to find that information, and I am not sure, frankly. I do not believe we did the search for your last superintendent, but I can't swear to that.
I can.
We didn't.
Okay. That would be, not with actually, I think, the last... We haven't had one, so I don't know about Dick Ross, but I know from then it's been...
Steve, we didn't. Tina did. I don't know about Dick either.
No.
Mm-hmm. Any longer institutional memory? Okay.
All right,
just curious.
Any other questions?
No. Thank you so much for coming out on a Friday night.
Thank you for having me. It's been a real pleasure. I certainly hope that we'll earn your trust, but... Regardless, I wish you all the best and hope that it works out very well for you.
We have a board meeting on the 20th, so a decision will hopefully be rendered as close to sunshine laws allow at that point.
I will look forward to hearing from you. And have a happy holiday.
Thank you. All right. Item 4.01, motion to adjourn.
I would just like to talk a little bit about the point. So what happens now between now and the board meeting? We all have materials. Do we not talk with any of each other?
What I would suggest is the board members review the materials and kind of get a consensus of what they're looking for. And then this will allow Mr. Narrow to go ahead and also review the material. She wasn't able to be with us tonight to make sure that we have a general idea. And then I'll consult with Brooke and Nekla. I know that, you know, we can't take any official action until the board meeting, but as far as a consensus would have to be made, I would assume that if you had any questions about the particular groups, you can feel free and call them. I'm sure, you know, that they wouldn't mind any phone calls with follow-up questions and things of that nature. I'm pretty sure that the people in the audience will want to send some questions our ways at some point in time, just throwing out there, I guess. And so I think that's something that we can also take a look at, and then maybe regroup a little bit, you know, and ask if people would be comfortable with making a decision at the next board meeting, or if they would need to have some more time to sit down and discuss. I'm not saying that I'm opposed to having another board meeting and executive session to it, you know, prior to the board meeting itself, but if there are questions and concerns that people have before we make a decision at the board meeting, I think that would be the best interest to follow.
Okay. Okay. When you say, well, let's develop a consensus, I mean, to me, that's okay. How does that happen without...
Without violating...
Well, that's what...
Well, I just mean a consensus, yeah, our consensus, but I mean, a consensus is that when you, before the next board meeting, that Neil Whitman, when you go to sleep, you know which, how comfortable you are with which fund you're wanting to look at, so you can make that determination. I'm not a consensus with the five.
Consensus means like...
Yeah, but a consensus with just, you know, that you have an idea of what you're looking for and what you want to do, and then we can, again, if we need to debate the issue at that point in time at a board meeting, we most certainly can do so, or if it makes sense, just to make sure we're all above board.
Okay.
And executive, add another...
Kind of make up your own mind, talk with people who have questions, mm-hmm. ask questions of these people if we need to, and then come prepared to discuss.
And it's, you know, I'll put something out, you know, in the not too distant future, you know, are you comfortable with the decision, yes or no, and then not asking for what the decision is, but just asking, are you ready, or do you feel the need for, you know, another meeting to discuss?
How then would we know which firm to, you know, give, say, hey, you know, it's looking like it's going to be you, and we're going to discuss it,
I'll consult with Brooke and Upper, because I know that there's things when, you know, when it comes down to hiring treasurers or hiring superintendents and things like that, I know in the past, you know, those discussions have been made with that, but we'll make sure we do everything above board with that. I mean, at this point, I think it would probably have to be another meeting to have this conversation before we can make a determination, so that way when we go into the board meeting or at that point in time, have an executive session, and then right after that, then go ahead and have the vote.
Well, I'm fine proceeding that way. I just, you know, since you said to the earlier person, you know, you should know before our board meeting, I don't want to leave them hanging.
I think, you know, one way or another, we'll just, because that was before you brought up the very good point about sunshine laws and the connection with everything.
Okay. All right. That's all I have.
Anything else? Motion to adjourn?
So
moved by Mr. Truex, second by Mr. Whitman. Any other discussion? Seeing none, Madam Treasurer, please call the roll.
Mr. Truex?
Aye.
Mr. Whitman?
Aye.
Mrs. Dunlap?
Aye.
Mr. Begany?
Aye. Motion passed. The meeting is adjourned, and I'm sure we'll be around for a few questions if you have any.